Hello there, authentic podcast listeners. I'm Jordan Dahl.
And I'm Sam Wiles.
And if we seem a little aggressive, that's because we're the hosts of Fight Island, a comedy podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place.
Each week we have on our favorite comedians to riff and roleplay about who would win in a fight between your favorite pop culture characters.
It's one part D&D, one part road trip game, and two parts roundhouse kick to the face.
It's brutal. It's funny.
It's Fight Island.
You didn't do it. I look so aggressive.
I got uncomfortable.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing great. We're in everyone's favorite week, the week between Christmas and New Year's. A beautiful time to be alive in this great country.
True. A time when you certainly don't feel pressure to do something, but because there is no actual holiday happening, but mm-hmm. you also don't have the energy to actually, or motivation to actually do those things. I think of it as a hellish time that that I do not like. But I was thinking about this last night, and I was like, oh yeah, I never just like, I'll play video games for 3 hours, but not enjoy any time of that because I'm just like, oh, I should be doing something. But you know what? Now we're at work and time to put our work faces on because we got one of those classic big gets this week.
Bernie Getz.
That's right. Welcome. Allison Leiby. How are you, Allison?
Hi, guys. I'm fine. It's a great week. As I said when I hopped on Zoom, I miss my acquaintances. I miss seeing the people I only casually know through work.
We have to bring up, you're a recent celebrity. You went viral. You were on NY1 News for a bodega tweet. It was a wild thing to experience secondhand. What was it like firsthand? Yeah.
Oh God, it was so funny because I was like, I don't know. I'm sure you guys tweet like me, which is like half paying attention and sometimes drunk or high and just like spending 5 seconds writing something and like moving on, which is exactly what happened. And then I like walked away and I like came back to my computer a little while like after, and I was like, why does this have 1,000 comments on it? And then it like only exploded from there, and it was like kind of like too fast for me to keep up with like all of it. I was just like, every time I like reloaded, it was like another 10,000 comments. It was like 20,000 quote tweets and then like 60,000 comments.
It was
like outrageous. Like I saw none of it, and so I just thought it was very funny. I was just like, wow, you guys really care about nothing.
Yes, people get so upset whenever someone says the word bodega. I've noticed.
So true.
Yes. People are infuriated by that word. Yes.
And like, there's also like, I was like, oh, this is just a lot of people expressing deep set issues. Like, a lot of people have issues with New York and when New Yorkers are proud of New York or when they cite specifics of New York. People are like, what, you think you're better than me because you live in a city and I live in a shitty town? And it's like, I'm kind of.
it's totally true. It's definitely true in comedy too. You'll notice. I started in Indiana. You'd notice when somebody who wasn't like a giant name was coming through and they were from New York or LA, people are like, oh, here we go. Mr. New York's here. Okay. We're going to fucking bury this little bitch.
It's so weird.
It's insane. It's all insecurity. It comes from like, oh, I shouldn't have to go to New York. And really, you shouldn't have to, but you can also just be nice. You don't have to, but you don't have to be resentful of people who live there either.
Right. Like when I tweeted, like the intention, also it wasn't even a joke about bodegas. It was like a joke about how I impulse buy candy everywhere I go.
Yes.
And like the people who read it as like, Because it just says like, hey, if you don't live in New York, where do you go to buy XYZ? I want peanut butter M&Ms. But like, people were like reading it as like, hey, where in your shit fuck town do you buy stuff, you hasty loser?
How do you even
like,
you have to,
I'm like that's not
grow M&Ms in your field in the back of your house? Like, how do you even get things?
It's so funny. Anyway, but then when they got picked up on New York One, it was like New York One is my favorite news. It's my favorite television station. I just moved to a new apartment. And I no longer have it. And the last day I had New York One was the day they talked about the tweet. So
oh my God.
Such a magical, you know, amazing. Now all of the morning anchors follow me. And I was just like, this is a huge deal.
Oh, that's amazing. That's like when it snows on Christmas Day. Yes. That is beautiful.
It really was.
Incredible.
How are you guys?
Oh, Tommy, you go.
I'm doing fine. It is very funny because we are going to talk today about the opposite of a New York person, which is we're talking about Amy Grant, which is truly the opposite of New York specific. Mm-hmm. Something.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am very excited. I knew literally nothing about her, so.
Same.
It was interested by that.
Yeah.
How did this come up for you? Where did you grow up, Allison?
Up in Maryland.
Okay.
The only Jew in my school.
Well, that's also what thought was interesting because it's a Christian, famous Christian
Amy
musician.
Amy Grant, notorious Christian artist.
Yes.
Well,
which I
Christian by some
know.
Standards.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. Yeah.
Like I didn't know any. I just remember when her first like pop album came out and like liking hearing Baby Baby on the radio because I was in like second or third grade when that happened. And so like I then like bought that CD, or my mom bought that CD for me. And then the next one, and like didn't, I don't know, I'm a stupid person, I think. And not for listening to Amy Grant, but like I didn't know for years that she was a Christian artist. I had no idea because her pop songs were just like very chaste love songs. Like they aren't like he and I, we are like, it wasn't like this like crazy, like Jesus language.
Yeah.
They were just kind of like very child friendly pop songs because Christians are children. I don't want to get in trouble on this podcast.
You're trying to get back on NY1, aren't you?
I get in trouble all the time.
We'll take the poke at Christianity.
Well, it's funny. I had bands like that like I feel like we've talked about on the show before, but like Switchfoot, they were huge before anyone knew they were Christian. I think Live was same way.
A Christian band too.
Which one?
Reliant K.
Yes. Yeah. They're Christian too.
There's
definitely
a bunch of sleeper religious bands.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's also like hard because I'm just like, what? Like, Amy Grant is a specific kind of Christian artist. Like, now in adulthood, I've like looked back and I'm like, oh, the writing was all over the wall. But like, she's like really like started Christian and then went right back to Christian after the pop stuff did it. Like, I think that pop was like a, let's see if this works. And I think like other bands are kind of like, well, let's get famous with Christian people and then we can like cross over.
Then you cross over.
And I think that she was just like, I love singing about God.
Yeah.
And if I could sing about kissing a boy at a carnival, I'll do that too. I don't know anything about her personality. I'm sure she's like deeply wanted to be successful. And she was.
She did it. And it's so weird. This is the very rare person who it's like, she was really big and I just completely missed her. I don't know how it's possible, but
she was only big for like a year. Like, it's not like she was like a pop star that like had like a bunch of albums and then like she had like two pop albums and then went right back to like, I'm only going to record religious Christmas music.
Yeah. Yeah. So like from like 91 to like 94, 95, she was killing it.
Yeah.
But then alas, and like listening to the music, it was another one of those things where I did know a few songs, but not even, I had heard Baby Baby, but like a lot of the songs I didn't know at all. And then there was a couple songs that I was like, I think I remember that.
She
seems like a movie soundtrack.
Very movie soundtrack and very like that kind of pop music all sounded very similar. Like it sounds a lot like any other like female artist at the time
of that
like,
early
90s, just,
yeah,
like, old Madonna, old Mariah Carey, old Paula Abdul, there's like strokes of all of them, there's like some Natalie Merchant to her kind of, and like just being like, you know, poppy and like still kind of like those slower songs. So, you know, there's a lot, all that music sounded the same because it was like the same keyboard stuff everybody was using, the same kind of like melodies and stuff like that. But she was singing low key about, I think, Jesus.
It was so funny to be looking her up because her first record label was called Myrrh Records, Old Frankincense and Myrrh, which is such a parody thing. It's like she's not Myrrh, really. Well,
and Frankincense was East Coast and Myrrh was West Coast.
Oh, yeah, they had the big feud.
Not get along.
I'm so mad that that's real because that's something I wish I could now write.
Yes.
That's so good. Yeah, I really enjoyed a lot reading about the turn the Christian community had on her because of this 91. Oh my god.
They were so mad.
Baby really pissed people off, and furthermore her eventual divorce really pissed people off.
Well,
this is the thing about being in the Christian music industry is they are really stringent upon you, especially if you're a woman, and these people did not. I read this Daily Press article that says the new Amy Grant, and it starts out, this is from October 8th, 1991. It starts out, Amy, what have you done? A group of teenagers at Hampton Christian High School was asking just that question about Amy Grant. The former reigning queen of Christian pop music has gone totally secular on her new album, Heart in Motion. The scenes from Grant's MTV aired video to Baby Baby ran through the students' heads. There was Grant, the goody two shoes of popular music, dressed in a semi provocative outfit, cooing seductively, cooing seductively to a hunky mute muscle man. I love this, this passage. The singer who once proclaimed God's love in most of her material has turned to bubbly pop music with lyrics that don't preach the word of the Lord. In fact, her new album barely mentions God's name at all.
Barely, all she wants to do, does.
All she wants to do is dance.
It's so funny because like she's so like chaste and neutered as like a female pop artist. Yes. Like all those songs and the videos are just like so like juvenile in terms of how they approach like love and sex. Like it's not, there's nothing risque about it. Like this is, those people are absolute psychopaths.
It's insane. It's truly insane. The fact that I was reading a few different comments about this, and one of the main things is like the fact that she would sing to a man that is not God is insane, which is really like, crazy. Because Baby Baby is about her baby. Like, it's about her actual baby.
Like, what? That's not just, like, being Christian. That's, like, a whole, like, that's all the way to the right or the left. It's so weird. It's so, like, also, like, is Christianity the only, like, large religion that has, like, a pop music farm? like farm teams? Like, I don't, like, as a Jew, I'm not like, oh, yeah, all that Jewish pop music and all those artists.
I guess you have, like, what, Modest Yahoo, and that's about
it.
Yeah, that's a good question, though, in mainstream music, though, too.
Yeah, like, they break through a lot, whereas, like there's no, like, Mormon music scene, is there?
I guess that, I mean, there is.
I bet there is.
The Killers and like, who else is the Mormon?
Well, Imagine Dragons was Mormon. That's right. Yeah. Everyone from Vegas is Mormon. We found out in recent episodes.
That makes a lot of sense. In Vegas, weirdly.
Mormon.
Yes. It's so funny to me to think of being outraged by a divorce at all. Like, that is the weirdest thing to be mad about. Someone you don't know got divorced and it upsets you. Like, it's so crazy to me.
It's crazy. I told this to Tommy earlier and I'm going to get to it later, but I found quite a treasure trove on this divorce and I'm very excited to get to it. But I think we should hear Baby Baby before we go any further.
The big one.
That's the big one. We have two different.
I can play this on the piano.
Oh, is that true?
I used to be able to.
Oh, damn. Well, I mean, there's no way to prove that unless you...
Nope, there isn't. I can say I could do anything and you guys can't call me on it. Can't disprove me.
Sorry, we get we are a heavily fact-checked podcast, and
I could tell.
down like the New York Times just did. We can't do that. No. All right, let's hear the original Baby Baby off of the album that we were just talking about, Heart in Motion. Here it is.
I mean, this is great pop. Devotion should have.
What's that?
Devotion should have really tipped me off.
No.
That's a real Christian word for.
Oh,
love.
Absolutely. I think we get it. Is there, yeah, there's no
it's
part
pretty that the same. I don't even know if there's a bridge.
I was just about to say the thing about that's nice about her music is it's kind of just the same the whole time.
Like, yeah, it really like it is. It's very like right now, like her music now is like exactly what I hear like in a Safeway or a Rite Aid. You know, if you're in like a big suburban store, that's it's, coming because that's not bothering anybody and there's kind of like no beginning and end to it.
Absolutely.
It's like Muzak.
It's that's so true. It's so funny that you say that. So I read this thing on songfacts.com where we get a lot of our information on these songs.
Heavily fact checked.
Yes. Yeah. Is it song FACTZ?
That's right. Yes. Okay. So it says, we asked Amy in a 2013 interview what Millie, who she wrote the song about her 6-week-old daughter at the time. We asked Amy in a 2013 interview what Millie, then 23 years old, thinks of the song. Amy replied, "I think she just says that is the song inspired by me," which is not a great sentiment. Grant added, "When they were younger, they traveled with me on the bus. I mean, as they got older, I had to take a tutor until they were old enough to not want to travel as much as I did. But I didn't ever force my children to have any kind of emotional attachment to the music I made because I knew that they would find the music that they loved, and I didn't ever want to make them feel pressured. I jokingly have said, 'Oh, I'm so glad I heard Baby Baby in an elevator the other day because it's helping defray the cost of your college education.'" So even she knows.
She's
that is
like,
exactly what it is.
She seems kind of like with it and self-aware.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, furthermore, this is the song that really pissed people off. Grant is very popular, but this was her first big secular hit as a solo artist. She did have a number one hit in the U.S. with her duet with Peter Cetera on The Next Time I Fall.
Also on the list. Yes.
Disgusting. I'll always talk about Peter Cetera. I have really bad taste in music.
We did do that. Yeah.
Listening to these songs, I was very shocked.
It's so funny. My friend said this about like visual art the other day, I guess 9 months ago, because when was the last time I was shopping with someone? The other day, last year, we were like at West Elm, like looking at like framed, like, you know, their art, which is just like kind of like millennial pink squiggles. And she just was like, "You know, I think I'm at an age where I really don't want to have to think about any art I engage with."
Yes.
Me too. Yeah. I'll put that in my house.
That's so funny.
And I think that like musically I was cool in college. I listened to like a lot of hip music and was always like going to like indie like shows and like stuff like that. And then I was like, what am I doing? I just want to listen to yacht rock and like 90s like solo female artists. That's all I listen to.
That is, it is fun, especially yacht rock is fun to just put on and not think about anything, not political alignments,
nothing.
Or like
you don't have to think about anything. Shit. There's nothing to think. It's just kind of like, I don't know. I no longer use music for entertainment. I use it to like, I don't know, obliterate the thoughts in my head.
One of the best days I've had during this pandemic is I played golf. It was a completely empty course near my mom's house in Martinsville, Indiana. And I just put on Yacht Rock and I was by myself and I just drank a bunch of Coors Lights and golfed by myself. And it was beautiful.
That's what I do every night when I like decide to cook a big dinner. I live alone. It's been a challenging 9 months. But like, I'll just put, I have a playlist of like just, my friend and I made it. It's called Guilt-Free Pleasures.
That's perfect for this show.
And it's all, you know, it's a lot of like Survivor and Don Henley. And like, you know, just everybody in that, where a lot of like, yeah, Peter Cetera makes a lot of appearances. Mm-hmm. Phil Collins, all Genesis, like, it's just nice to kind of like listen to that and just be like chopping something. And you're like, nothing else is happening inside of my head. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's so
were you already a good, I see on your Instagram story, you seem like an incredible chef. Were you like that before or has this?
Yeah, but like I stand up really made it hard to ever. I was night. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm home once a week and I'm not going to cook. I'm going to like lie face down on my couch and cry.
Yes,
now I can do that every night.
The time, yeah.
But now that like there's no stand up, I'm just like, well, this is an activity.
Yeah, kill a couple hours. Yeah,
nice to kill a couple hours. I was just thinking before when you asked how I was doing, I couldn't help but think all I do every day is I look so forward to when the new crossword is posted.
Oh yeah.
Then I rip through that and then I do the mini and then I do the, what do you call it? The
spelling bee.
Yeah. Most of my day is now consumed by the New York Times crossword.
That's, you know, not bad. That's better than nothing.
It is the worst feeling though. Yeah. When you finish
you
it,
out of it. You've gotten the genius on the spelling bee. When you finish the crossword, you finish the mini and you're like, now just time to wait another 12 hours.
Oh no.
I like burned out watching a ton of television. And I was like, usually I listen to podcasts like when I'm going, like commuting, like, you know, on the subway, on a walk, whatever. And I haven't really been going out for walks or anything. And then like, I was like, oh, I could listen to podcasts at home. And so I like started doing that and now I'm caught up on all of them. And I'm like, well, all right, I guess. I'll wait until next Tuesday.
I fully relate to this. And I got something to tell you that's humiliating probably, but it's what I do, especially now. Cause I just run out of podcasts by like Thursday.
Yeah.
By Thursday night, I'm kind of out. Cause a lot of them don't come out on a lot of them that I listen to stop coming out by Friday.
It's like Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I've resorted to doing is I found my friends' podcasts and I'll listen to them while I play video games and it feels like I'm hanging out with
people. I should do that. Not bad.
It's not bad. I've listened to some Rad Dude Cast. And
I love the Rad Dude Cast.
I
was up on it every week and then I've
been doing that. I almost subscribed to their damn Patreon. And then Casey James Salengo and The Good, the Dad, and the Ugly I listed.
Oh, yeah. That's another fun one.
It's an insane thing to do, though. And then it feels so weird when you talk to one of those people and you're like, hey, how's the dog search or whatever? And they're like,
yeah,
I haven't spoken to you in 6 months. It's
so weird. It's like, I forget, like, and then like, I have friends who like have started listening to my podcast and then they'll be like, oh my God, I love this part. And I'm like, I don't remember that. But also, I don't know. We taped that weeks ago. I don't know. So weird.
What a life. I like that you said the thing about the other day, 9 months ago too, because that is going to be fucked up in stand up. And also even doing the little bit of stand-up that existed in the, you know, the outdoor and the Zoom and shit. Whenever you say the other day, you do have to do this caveat of like, and the story happened when things were safe. Like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I think we'll get over that at some point. You know, God knows if we'll ever do stand-up indoors again. But but like, I think we'll get over it at a certain point. But there's going to be a while where like, you have to like say that so that people don't think that you're a monster.
Yes.
Or that the whole thing is made up.
Exactly.
Which is like always that line. That's why we say the other day, like, so that it feels like a conversation. And then it's like, well, you know, in 2019,
the other day I was at a party and you're like, whoa, what?
Yeah. You're like, and it was like, Trump was about to be elected. It's like 2016. And you're like, what's happening?
Brutal. But, terrible. I want to
not Amy Grant.
No, beautiful segue back.
So the the thing I want to get to is in these very song facts that I just alluded to. But I want to take a quick break real fast and we'll be right back. I'm teasing it. I can't believe what I found in these song facts. So we'll be right back with more Stand By Your Band. All right, we're back with more Stand By Your Band. I teased it before the break here. I found in this song facts, the people are arguing on the song facts for Baby Baby about how Christian Amy Grant is and if she has actually lost her faith and if she's fake and all this shit. it starts with in the actual list from this website, they say the video for this song raised suspicion among Grant's contemporary Christian fans as she sang it affectionately to an actor, not her husband and father of Millie, Gary Chapman. Grant and Chapman, who married in 1982, divorced in 1999. A year later, Grant married the country star Vince Gill. And I want to point out they're still together. And a lot of people were like, she's a trollop for doing this. They're still together.
That's like a real name.
Yes. Yeah. They fell in love touring together, but they swear they, according to them, they never cheated. I'll just read some of these because
wait, and really quick before we get into that. So like they have a problem with her singing to a man who mm-hmm. isn't her husband. Like, do these people not watch movies that aren't, like that aren't starring husbands and wives that are acting? Like,
the only good movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Amateur film.
If it's not Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I only watch amateur porn because I know they're in love.
The most Christian thing possible.
All right. I interrupted.
No. All comments are welcome here because I'm looking through these comments because there's a lot. There's like 30 comments on here. And they're all very intense. A lot of them are like, she's a piece of shit for, oh yeah, here we go. It starts with this guy, Kevin, going, did she write it for Millie before or after she cheated on Millie's dad with Vince Gill? I know this sounds mean, but this always really bothered me. Gary Chapman's a great guy and he didn't deserve how Amy Grant treated him, nor did the children. Then there's people going, you're casting the first stone. You tell me you've never sinned before. Then people saying that Gary was actually a raging alcoholic and an abuser and a drug addict and all this shit. Shannon from Palisade, Colorado says, Amy did not cheat on her husband with Vince Gill. The two knew each other, worked together, and began to have feelings for each other. They were tormented by those feelings, but never acted on them while married to other people. Her divorce greatly pained Grant as she knew it was unbiblical, but her marriage to Chapman was falling apart and she could not deny her feelings for Gill. Grant and Gill never shared physical contact beyond a hug or a handhold till they were married. All this was documented in a TV special where she, Gill, and Chapman were interviewed and shared personal stories.
Whoa, I want to watch that.
I do too.
Like, also, on what network? Like, who was like, we gotta get the scoop on this story?
Hey, it was a TV special. That's all we need to know. So this goes on and on, and this Marcia from Nashville says, FYI, Gary Chapman was arrested for drunk driving in the Nashville area last year. It was in the paper, so I imagine their marriage wasn't all that everyone thought it was. I love Amy and I love Vince, they're wonderful, blah blah blah. But a lot of people saying that he was an abuser and that he's a piece of shit. Dave from Nashville writes, I worked with many people in Nashville, have met those in question numerous times. Grant never mistreated Chapman. In fact, it was the other way around. Their pastor at the time stated the marriage covenant was broken and Grant did not commit adultery. There was abuse in many ways. And there is a reason why people in Christian music industry rallied around Amy and blew off Gary. The man is bad news. Just my opinion from what I and many of my colleagues witnessed. Glad she's found happiness again. Again, blah 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 blah.
Is Gary in the music business?
Gary is in the music business.
He's a Christian musician, also
Christian musician and television host. So here's where
maybe it was his special.
It might have been his own special. So then there's Angel saying, I like a few songs, but I don't like her personally. She can never be a witness for Christ as she's failed God and she didn't obey God's words when she committed herself to adultery after she divorced her first husband. So then people keep arguing. Here's where it gets crazy.
It's not Gary. Crazy. It's pretty crazy already.
Gary is in the fucking comments.
Whoa!
Harry is in the comments. He says, wow, what an unpleasant experience. I'm so sorry that a number of you feel free / compelled to write such horrible things about me. I'm pretty sure not one of you know me at all. Let me summarize.
Like, he's a drunk and an abuser. Good for Amy. He's like, this is unpleasant.
He says, I did have a problem with cocaine in the early 80s. I did come clean with the fact in hopes of helping others in the same trap. I did not ever abuse Amy. Ask her. I did get pulled over with a designated driver in the car who told me after he had agreed to drive that he couldn't operate a stick shift. I know. I'm on my part.
My judgment was... wait. That's so funny. Being like all DD and it's like, oh, I can't drive a stick.
Well, guess I better drunkenly drive.
Yeah, I guess we're better off with me drunkenly driving.
I mean, in fairness, probably. Or just park it. You're a TV host, brother.
Yeah, take a cab. Cab.
He says, I know, dumb on my part, but my judgment was clearly not up to stun. The pot charge was dropped. and then he says another part of the story, which will be told in my upcoming book.
Of course.
Shame on you judgmental jerks for damaging untruths you've told here. You are ignorant victims of the PR machine that mowed me down 10 years ago. Well, guess what? I'm okay. God is good, despite the fact that he has to deal with such hurtful children as yourselves.
Oh, my God.
He says, if anyone wants to speak directly to me, email me. I am unafraid. And then he gives his email, which is tejas57@aol.com. And I looked it up, and that is his email address.
Should we email him? I was tempted. You guys Antonio should get him on the pod.
Oh, my God. The sad thing is we probably could.
I know. I should have said, hey, Gary, we want you to clear your name.
It'll be a follow-up episode to this explosive one.
I found...
oh, is there more, Tom?
Oh, there's more, but it's a lot of it's just him saying, there's no way that you people will be able to sleep tonight knowing what you've done. Oh, yeah. Me.
He's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he is right.
I don't think any of those people sleep at night.
No. They listen to podcasts until the morning comes. Yeah, that's then somebody addresses him, but yeah, they just go back and forth, but he doesn't say anything else. I just thought it was insane. I've never seen anything like that before.
How do you think he even, like, what, like a Google alert on himself? Like, how do you find that?
That's possible. I bet that is it. He's in the business, but like not enough for people to, I think, care that much about anymore.
Yeah,
and
this
story really fucked him, I think, and for good reason, it sounds like.
There's something I found in his Wikipedia. It's not a very interesting Wikipedia, but there's one line I had to read today, which is from his personal life section. After all the stuff about the divorce and the cocaine and marijuana, it says he's a licensed helicopter pilot who once surprised his friend and fellow Christian singer, Stephen Curtis Chapman, in parentheses, no relation, by landing in his yard.
Oh, my God.
Which is so funny.
We got to fill this thing out. you know any other Chapmans?
Another Christian singer named Chapman just shows up in your yard in a helicopter. High on cocaine, I'm guessing.
This is wild. He only has 1,600 Twitter followers, and sure enough, his bio is singer-songwriter, follower of Jesus, dad, husband, patriot, lover of hemp, pilot, dreamer, doer, MAGA.
Oh, not surprising at all.
Not surprising, but definitely upsetting. This is unpleasant now. Wow.
I'm just shocked that we...
Amy. No, everybody, you know, it's like when you first date a comic when you're really young. You don't know any better, and then you're like, I gotta go find a real person.
And I think he helped her write her first hits or something like that. I can't remember.
Christian hits or her pop?
Yeah, the Christian hits.
Yeah.
For sure.
Then who gives a shit?
Yeah. He wrote God Can Drive Stick, and he wrote all of the good ones.
Who was that DD? I want so much more information.
Well, that happens all the time. I'll call an Uber and I'm hammered, and the guy's like, I can't drive stick. You got to drive us home. I'm like, all right, buddy.
I'm not giving you 5 stars. Also just
waiting around. And I assume it's somebody who was like waiting around at the bar for him to be like done getting fucked up.
Yes.
So that person just waited around and then they get out to the car. He's like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah, what a miserable night for that guy. And then he gets to be in the car during a DUI. That's a brutal night.
Certainly someday this guy will be famous and have more than 1,600 Twitter followers.
He'll definitely come defend himself in the comments of a song fact website. Clear his name. I should have done him for my artist. I should have been like, this is the artist I stand behind.
I spell a sequel. I just can't, after, you know, years of looking through this website's comments, it's finally all paid off. Insane.
This does feel like striking gold.
shall we listen to some more music here?
Yeah.
What would you like to? I mean, we already teased it, so maybe we should hear the next time.
Yeah, the Cetera one.
Next
yeah.
time I
yeah,
fall
let's,
in love.
Let's hear.
It's a great song, and also like I on did another podcast. Where I was talking about my love of duets between solo famous male and female singers. It's such a like weird narrow category that only existed from like 1987 to like 1991. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped doing stuff like that, and I'm like, we should do that more.
Yeah. I mean, the cool kids are doing it these days, but
yeah, they're all like too young. I don't get it. Just like kicking the ground.
Let's hear The Next Time I Fall featuring Amy Grant. How it leads me back again to a heartache I never understand. Darling, I put my heart upon the shelf till the moment was right. I tell myself it's time I fall in love. I'll know better what to do.
Wow. It's so such a specific like time that this is right. It is not aged to where you could watch it in any era or listen to it in any era. It's so specific.
So that part, that period of time and that kind of music.
Yes.
Like it's just so, like Linda Ronstadt's in a lot of them. Like there's just like a very like a man and a woman singing a love song to each other.
Yes.
Like, who aren't related.
Who are not married, so we shouldn't like it.
No, I don't like it.
So it's not Christian.
My Endless Love. Who are those people?
Endless
fuck.
Love.
Isn't that the
song? I just know that from that movie, yeah.
From,
but now I'm like Gilmore? Blanking on. No. Is Peebo Bryson the guy? No.
I'm looking it up now. It's Lionel Richie and Diana Ross.
Yes.
I feel bad for not knowing that actually. But like, you know, Amy, what a great, also like that song is like, next time I fall in love, I'll know better what to do. Like it's just, the lyrics are so like, oh, so funny.
Hell yeah.
I would like to request more male-female duets from our contemporary artists.
Mm-hmm. If any of you are listening.
We just listened to one on the Patreon, which was Taylor Swift and Matt Berninger. It was the National instead, but yeah. So they're out there.
They're happening. That's true. And I did like her new albums. So
ooh. Yeah,
why not? That's great background. I don't think about anything. Everybody's like, the lyrics are really good. I'm like, truly, I couldn't tell you one of the lyrics. I turn on music and my brain shuts off.
For me,
something might be wrong with me.
This is a cry for help podcast.
Anyway, I'm fine. See you guys later.
Anyway, here's Lucky One.
Oh, yeah.
Skateboard a little bit there.
She is. She has a very good voice.
Like, don't you want to be shopping for like Windex and like bottled water to the song?
If I gotta buy Windex, I gotta be hearing that.
Like, that is just like absolutely what I need playing in a CVS when I'm like, do I need to buy a lighter? Maybe.
I can't remember if that's the song. One of the songs on this list made my girlfriend go, that's the worst song I've ever heard.
Oh, damn.
I mean, I will stand by, I like listening to this. I will not stand by this being good music. It's just like, I don't have to think about it.
Sure. The Perfect. Thing is, I can't remember if it's this one or if it was one of the other ones.
They're all bad. I just like, also, she's like, I would not say that I listened to a ton of Amy Grant today, but mm-hmm. like when I was 9 to 11, like these were CDs that my mom was like, this is fine. Also, I think if my mom knew she was a Christian artist, she would have been like, get this shit out of my head.
It's your bat mitzvah is just yeah, Amy Grant.
Elsa, we got you a special guest. It's her husband. He's like, yeah. Anyway, I'm here. Let's sing about God.
How do you kids sleep at night?
Can any of you drive stick?
Kids, it's easy. One of you hold down the clutch and the other one.
Ease up on it like a woman. You don't know that yet. You're 13. Yeah, it's just like, I remember like loving, like this is like the concept of love that third grade me could understand. Mm-hmm. And so like it became like, you know, I also have like old Madonna CDs, but like I don't think I really understood like that kind of
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Even those songs are not like overtly very sex. I mean, they're like sexual, but like they're not like, it's not like, you know, R&B is today and like hip hop where you're like, oh, okay, I know exactly what we're talking about because I'm not even using euphemisms anymore,
yes.
Which I love. Yeah. But like as a child, like this music was so like, I was like, I think I understand what love is now. I'm 37. I still don't. But like I would sing. I remember I had like a boombox in my bedroom and I would like sing. I don't know. I thought I was a good singer. And now it's so funny because I'm like, I have one of the worst singing voices you could ever hear. It's truly just my talking voice, but louder. And zero concept of melody or tune. Hell I'm yeah. good at playing the piano, but I have a really bad singing voice.
We gotta do karaoke like, when this is over.
We gotta. But I would like, I didn't understand like the technology. I had like a friend who had like a microphone that hooked up to her boombox, and if you sang into it, it would record.
Mm.
So I just thought that they all did that, and I would sing into the back of my boombox because I knew that's where she plugged hers in. I am a stupid person. I have said this already. I'm still this dumb with technology. And I would like sing. I would put on the CD and then like sing into the back of my boombox and then like replay it like it had burned to see. I don't know.
Oh my god!
And then I'd be like, I could barely even hear myself. I sound just like her.
That's so funny. Oh my god.
That's so funny. That's incredible.
I'm sure my mom would like walk by my bedroom and be like, I don't know what's happening and I don't even care. You're occupied by yourself, like I don't have to do anything right now.
Whoa, this is crazy. I sound just like Usher too. That's so funny.
Yeah, they're all bad songs. I understand people being like, this is bad music.
There was one where she goes, I actually don't mind this one, but I can't, that might not be on the list. I think it was, I just let the playlist go on YouTube and it started playing some stuff.
But also, like, I don't know, if you played other, like, female pop music from this era that wasn't, like, huge, huge hits, like the songs we know from, like, Madonna and Whitney and all of that. Like, if you just played other, like, people who kind of, like, came and faded away, I don't think it would sound any different. I mean, I guess those people didn't become successful, and that's what we're talking about. But I think that whole that period of time, everything sounded the same.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, that's it, this. It sounds like if you were to go, hey, will you play some late 80s, early 90s music? Yeah. This is it.
This would fall in there and you'd be like, yep, yep.
That is nothing. Purely it.
Yep. We have an era.
We have a segment that I meant to do earlier and that I forgot about, where we go to our friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where our friend Jonas Schrodt is headlining the New Year's Eve night. You can watch on Zoom if you go to Comedy Attic's website. So do that. But Jared, like I said, is our friend and foe of the show. He's our resident snob. He hates everything we play on this damn show for the most part. And he was very quick to get me thoughts on Amy Grant. I was surprised at how fast he rolled up with the Amy Grant thoughts. So here is our voicemail from Jared. Here's They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Amy Grant. It's hard to say. I mean, I know that Amy Grant was sort of like the white Whitney Houston in her earlier era, where it's just like fake music, but like her vocals are pretty good. And so like the earlier stuff, like Baby especially, and I think the other one's called Every Heartbeat, and there might be a couple more. There was like one or two, you know, other hits in that time frame. Obviously, we all know that she went like full-blown Christian music on us later. And I mean, I'm assuming that that's probably trash, but who knows? But I will say this, it's sort of like a personal thing. The Amy Grant Christmas album, and I'm sure she has more than one, but this is probably from like the early to mid 80s, is something that was played in heavy rotation at my house as a kid. And so we listen to it at least once every Christmas season when we're, you know, trimming the tree or opening presents. And that's probably around the time that she turned, you know, her... you know, into Christian music or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think she's got a pleasant enough voice. So yeah, it's not terrible. All right. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Jared. That was, that wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be honest. What do you think about that, Allison?
I think that that's like a very, she has a lot of Christmas albums. And it's like, I don't know, with Christmas music, you just want like someone who's a good singer. And like, she is a good singer. Like, I also think that I like listening to him talk about, I was like, oh, I think I just respond to people who have like very good voices. Like, that's the music I like listening to. Like, not like good music, but just good singers, which is two different things.
True. True. I was just reading about how there was a big controversy. If you search Amy Grant controversy, the biggest one is that Lifeway Baptist Christian stores, I guess, have stopped selling her Christmas album.
Because and it was like a big her thing. Divorce?
I think it's a mix between her divorce, and I was reading she has some. I think she basically said when asked about having gay fans, because the LGBT thing in the Christian community, she basically said no comment, and that pissed them off. Rather, it pissed the Christians off.
Right, they're like, that's not condemning homosexuals enough.
Yeah. She's like, look, I think that the journey of faith is just being willing and open to have a relationship with God, and everybody is welcome. Everybody. That's like, her getting away with it. She's not even being pro LGBT, really. She's just saying, I guess, whatever. Like, God loves everybody.
Yeah, and it's like, if the chat clears.
But this is on getreligion.org, which is where we get all of our information every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured that that's that and Song Facts are your two go to spots for information.
It is a highly researched show, and this website is insane. And the story, it says latest Amy Grant controversy. This tale has a new chapter that some have missed. And that's what it is. Is there to say that? But it's, yeah, they stopped selling her her Christmas album at stores because of this this interview, it looks like. It's insane. So there is some controversy specifically around the Christmas albums. She's a controversial woman.
Clearly.
This went a lot deeper than I thought it was going to. Jared did allude to a song that I wanted to play next because I think that this is my favorite song on the playlist.
Yeah, I do like this song.
It is Every Heartbeat. Or maybe it was just the video had something that I liked, but it's also there's comments on the video that I want on the YouTube video. Ooh, that I'm made excited. Me laugh.
This All song right. reminds me the most of like 80s Whitney.
Yes.
Like it's a very like I want to dance with somebody. Like I get sure. those vibes from this. So it's like, yeah, what am I going to say no to a song that sounds kind of like that by a white lady? Of course not.
Exactly. All right, let's hear it. Fun.
It's a bop.
That's a bop. Right. No one's ever said that about an Amy Grant song. But it is. Also, I love a horn section in a pop song.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, that is good. She's being very cute in the video. And
the premise of the video?
Like the video, I think this is the one where she's at the laundromat, but let me double check. There's sure. an ad on it. I watched all the videos earlier, and
if I'm singing along to the songs while you're doing them, it just means that I did listen to all these today to prepare. So I'm
and just like, so you know, this is recording. Just so you know, it's not like your old speaker.
Do I have to talk into the back of my computer so you guys can Wow, I sound just like Tom and Tommy.
That is how I listen to podcasts. Is I talk into them as if I'm part of the podcast,
chiming in.
These guys are not giving me anything. So this one is, it's a few different settings, but the main thing is she's dancing in this polka dot thing, and she's at a it's an actress at a laundromat. I don't think is it her at the laundromat? She's flirting with a guy at a laundromat, and they're both doing their things, and he takes his shirt off.
For a man to be doing laundry, that's a woman's job.
She starts to take her shirt off after he takes his shirt off, but then she starts a laundry fight. And somebody did Chased. Say, sorry, kids, the blouse doesn't come off in an Amy Grant video.
Sorry, kids.
A lot of the comments here are very much about they appreciate the prudishness of Amy Grant. The first one is, back when music was catchy and good and singers weren't required to act like prostitutes to sell records.
Oh,
the one that I really liked here was this guy, Posh, Hugo Posh. He says, wish women these days were as cute as Amy. All now is fake and wretched Jezebel.
Oh, my God. All now is
fake and wretched Jezebel. Oh, God. I can't believe that person is allowed to live in this country and vote. That's
having like that be at the tip of your tongue is...
I like to the point where you're like, I better comment on the YouTube video. Like, yeah. It's just so removed from like he's not going into church and like saying, I'm sure he is also going after him, saying it, but like to be like, better leave this on YouTube, the place notorious for honoring Christian wishes.
Yes.
Oh, damn. Somebody asked, anyone know the name of hot laundromat guy? And then somebody else said, Amy always has the hottest guys in her videos.
I doubt that for some reason.
Amy is pretty hot. I gotta give it up to him. Yeah, I think that she's probably going to hell just for casting such a hot guy. You got to get these Christian.
It's not Vince Gill. It sucks.
Yeah. I know Vince Gill.
So hung up on somebody being like, you can't sing a song to a man who's not your husband. And like how that person interacts with the rest of the world. Like everything is fake. Like commercials, TV, movies, books. Like
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, the books, wow. History books. Let's listen to another song in here. We have, let's hear Galileo.
That's a real interesting one because I'm like, did the church even believe in that kind of science?
Yeah, didn't they kill Galileo?
These all sound exactly the same. I mean, I picked from a pretty narrow two album video. Sure.
Oh my God.
Is that a Ben Franklin flying a kite reference in a song called Galileo?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. She's a genius.
She starts it off with in the year 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. This is the history. You don't even have to go to school, kids.
I don't think the Christian kids like that are allowed. They're like, we'll go to school at church. But like the sounds of that, like obviously the lyrics are bonkers, but like even the sounds of that song are like, you know, there's like touches of like borderline, like the kind of synthy, like the same kind of like bell sounds or whatever. Like it's all, they all sound exactly the fucking same. But again, that's what I like. I could put on that whole album and never know that one song had ever ended. And that's what I like.
On second
Taylor
listen,
Swift is
I like
the same fucking
more.
Thing.
Wait, what's the next one here? Let's see. How many have we listened to?
There's one left, and then we also have that novelty one.
And also we want to hear the
other version of Baby Baby. Yeah.
So let's hear That's What Love Is For now.
Yeah.
She's right.
Dark side's best unseen. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. Why are we
feeling this way? Been there. Sometimes I wonder
if we really feel the same. What I do now. Why we can be unkind, questioning the strongest of hearts. That's when we must start believing in the one thing that has gotten us this far.
That's what love is for. Wow.
That's great. Powerful.
He brings it home, yeah.
Great.
There it is. Listen to that voice. I'm going to say it. We're comparing that to Whitney Houston.
No. Not even close. like also like so nobody funny. Touches Whitney's voice. No one, I mean, mm-hmm. Mariah True. And her are like kind of in a category of their own, yeah. and everybody else is like allegedly a singer.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else is a Jezebel.
wretched liars. Fake.
Somebody in one of these Chop Job Christian articles that I've been reading was like, Amy's voice is not good. We liked her for her realness.
Oh my God. Okay,
what? Like, she does have a good voice.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's so, but it's so funny to just go, so, yeah, we don't even like her music. Very real.
We just like that she was married to another Christian. Who cares if he had a coke problem?
I gotta email that guy and ask where he gets his coke. Hey man, I heard you sell coke. I heard you sell that yo.
But it's like, I need a follow. I mean, I'll have to do some research and do a follow up on like what his current day situation is.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out, but
probably not a lot. He's leaving his email in the comment section of a website.
Yeah. He could be in the Trump administration. We just don't realize.
He's been the Secretary of the Interior this whole time.
Oh shit, Chapman. All right.
Damn. Yeah, that is what a sad man.
What a find. I want to go to
his Twitter and see what he tweets.
Yeah,
about.
What does he tweet about?
The last thing I saw, he shared something that Trump, the Donald, your president, said. he's it's his last tweet is from December 14th, and he's agreeing that there was a voter fraud, and he says,
"Oh, good." So he's one of those.
Yep.
yep.
That shouldn't be surprising to us.
No.
No.
Oh, I don't think he likes Hillary Clinton one bit. Yeah, it's all Trump. It is 100% Trump shit.
Yeah, don't email him. Oh, God. So he probably does have a good speed hookup. So.
Oh yeah.
You maybe should.
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, it's not about music or anything anymore. It's just that. Wow. All right. Well, there you go. So
I feel like if that's who you are, you have to double down on that being all you are.
True. Mm-hmm. You rarely see somebody just with like
one toe in the water. Yeah.
They're like, they're yeah.
Damn. Yeah, he's going in. Hillary is so corrupt. He was mad that he says, cool, Hillary's in a tux. I don't even know what that means. Oh, that's great.
Makes you think.
Sure does. A woman in a tuxedo. Let's. Should we listen to that cover of "Baby Baby" and then we'll listen.
And then we'll listen to the bonus song.
Yeah. Yes. So here is "Baby Baby" is Amy Grant, of course, and she borrowed some vocals from Tori Kelly, who her daughter was a fan of, and that's how she apparently discovered this lady. But here's the new rendition. Ooh, sounds modern.
It's like time travel, man. You know that there's a youth pastor who's like, now Christian music is cool. Listen to this.
But like her music works for adapting to like whatever. The whole thing sounds the same. We don't have to listen to more.
This is good. It is a good update.
But yeah. because you still hear like the original song in it. But like it's because her songs are like that classic pop music of like that four chord mm-hmm. progression that like, yeah, if you drop like slightly modern sounds around it, it's still going to sound good because that's like musically correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So good for her for having longevity.
Exactly. Yeah. And collabing with her daughter, somebody her daughter's a fan of. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, good for her for being able to put that together.
So I haven't heard this next song yet, but so it's a novelty song.
This is a novelty song, and just to whet your appetites, I was reading about it.
Is it a novelty song, or is it just like on an album?
It is. Well, it's a cover of a song, and it is a novelty song. And it's based off a Bible verse, which is not surprising. Mm. But what I did think was very funny was the guy who wrote the song was interviewed about it. And they asked like how Amy found it or whatever. And he said, Amy and her producer had been praying for a song to put on Age to Age. They specifically prayed for a novelty song. Which is the funniest prayer of all time.
One of God's easiest jobs. He did not have to do a lot of work to grant that one.
He's like, yeah. That's it. All right, I mean, yeah, sure, you can have one. Like,
it's already kind of out there.
That's back when God was just Google. Like, they're like, can you find me this? He's like, I guess so. So did you mean novelty sucks?
Here is God granting that prayer to Amy Grant. Here is Fat Baby.
I know a man, maybe you know him too. You never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar and that was the end. He saved and that's all that matters to him. My spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week he gets his spiritual lunch. On Sunday he puts on his spiritual vest and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat, he's just a fat little baby. He wants his Bible and he told me maybe. He samples solid foods once or twice, but he says doctor leaves him cool as ice.
Will you just play like when there's like 30 seconds left, I think?
Skip to 30 seconds left?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
What an outro.
Wow.
She's singing about Tom in during quarantine. So, Allison, you just heard that miracle. Are you ready to convert to Christianity?
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck a lifetime of agnostic Judaism. Like, let's do this.
I mean, that's proof.
How many times do you think that song has been performed at like a church talent show?
Oh,
like laughing hysterically. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing it. They're saying that.
That is like a knee slapper in the literal sense. Like just people slapping their fucking knees.
Wow. Ooh. She does have a nice voice.
She does.
She does.
She does. She can get away with singing fat 12 times.
The word fat over and over again.
Also like fat is also not a word that like works to like sound nice when you're singing it.
Yes.
Like the F and the T are like they're not like melodic and like
you know
there's so many like just be like fat.
But she makes it work, damn it.
She does.
All right, we have just a couple more things left here. We of course have to hear from the Peanut Gallery. So let's take a quick break and we will hear from the fans of the show what they think about Amy Grant. All right, we're back with the final stretch of Stand By Your Band. Let's go to the Patreon to see what our Patreon subscribers thought about Amy Grant. I will say, I think we only have a couple here, partially because I posted it very last minute here. We were coming up with the artist down to the wire. Ron Trimbat says, I used to loathe her Home for Christmas album because it always reminded me of spending the holidays with my alcoholic grandfather. But now that he's dead, it kind of slaps.
What a journey.
Allie McElwee says, Liz Lemon is a fan. The Baby Baby video gets referenced in one of the Queen of Jordan episodes of 30 Rock.
Hey,
there we go. I think those are the only two from the Patreon. And by the way, we just got two new Patreon subscribers.
All right.
Hey, Beck Officer and Ryan Mescal.
Hey, $3 a month. Join them.
Welcome. Yeah, $3 a month gets you bonus episodes every damn week, and you get your comments read guaranteed on the Patreon, unless you say something negative about the guest, which did not happen this week, but not negative, but somebody made a bad joke that I decided to omit. So don't, if you do that about the guest, that probably won't get read. But the rest of you, you get guaranteed read. So get on there, $3 a month, patreon.com/standbyyourband. We also go to Twitter and Facebook. Tommy, you got the Twitter pulled up here?
Yeah. So Josh Austin said that back in 1990, her management sued Marvel because Doctor Strange's girlfriend looked too similar to her. And they felt that it would hurt her Christian image, which is very funny.
That's very funny.
So thank you, Josh, for letting us know about that. Brian Breslau said saying baby twice in a row is a good way to get your point across. Danny Hatch says my only thought is that a tender Tennessee Christmas is the only Christmas for me. And Matt Alonzo Morning, as Tom always says, she broke with her Christian faith to wreck Vince Gill's marriage, a testament to Gill's dick game.
Damn. My man.
That's true.
Yeah, I think he probably do have. I mean, they're still together. I believe in their love.
Yeah,
I believe in their dick game.
I believe in his dick game.
Dick game is strong.
On the Facebook, we have Charlie Vergos saying, "My mom's from Nashville and babysat her." He put baby and then sat, which is I think that's one word. Babysat her when my mom was in her teens, said she was a nice baby.
Oh,
and he goes, a nice baby.
Nice. Well, nice.
Adam Cousin says, oh man, she's great. Nice lady. Don't do her like this. I don't think this is a thing. I think some of the people who comment on here don't understand what this show is. It's yeah. Weird. She's being defended, buddy. Chad Denick says, I have decided to have her 1982 album Age to Age stuck in my goddamn head since I was about 5. Well, good decision. James Boyd says 83 Christmas album is an all-time great. There you go. Derek Hart says, not sure if you're familiar with the Good Christian Fun podcast, but they are the Amy Grant experts. Well, we're not here to plug other podcasts, Derek. Mike Wiebe says, when she recorded Baby Baby, the youth minister moms had a good old-fashioned freak out about how she had turned secular. They talked to us about how to handle it, even though there were only 2 kids out of 25 that listened to her or cared.
How to handle it.
That's so funny.
You gotta hide under your desk when the song plays. Yeah.
Ooh, Kenneth Armstrong. Yeah. Hide
under, it's like a nuclear.
Over your head.
Stand in a door frame.
Every man for himself, of course. Help yourself. Put your earmuffs on first. Kenneth Armstrong says, my church youth group saw her at Kings Island. She was great at the time and probably the most popular Christian artist ever. Now I'm an atheist, though, so there's that. Something to think about.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, Rachel Mack, fellow writer on the movie show on Sci-Fi, which is on, I think there's a new episode this week, or maybe they start back in January. Thursdays on Sci-Fi. It's been very fun to watch them. She says Amy Grant's Christian album is one of my top 3 Amy Grant's Christmas album. I keep doing that. Top 3 Christmas albums. I know a lot of Christians shunned her when she got divorced, but I still love her. then she says it's about time you got some Christian music up on the pod. And lastly, Holly Moore says Heart in Motion is solid. I still have the cassette and always will. One more. Ari Joseph says, baby, and then in parentheses, Jesus making music. Well done. Well done, Ari. All right. That was everything from the listeners. The Facebook popped off. A lot of people, yeah. People liked her on there than I anticipated, but there we go. So now comes the final part of this show, Allison. We're going to rate the playlist out of 6. Given that there were 6 songs, and okay. Before we do that, you get the floor to give your final thoughts on Amy Grant.
I mean, I've said it so many times and I'll say it again. It's nice to listen to music you don't have to think about. Just like a nice lady with a pretty voice singing about chaste love. I don't know what people wouldn't like about that. That is great. That is music.
Hell yeah. Beautiful. I think that's perfectly fair.
I think that like CVS Rite Aid music, like it, I'm never going to be upset when I'm hearing songs in a Rite Aid. Mm-hmm. I'm upset that I'm in a Rite Aid, but like,
true. I think that's my least favorite store is a Rite Aid, and maybe it's just because the Rite Aid that was by our old apartment sucked so much.
Well, Rite Aid in New York, like, I don't know. I don't see them that often either. So like, you're like, I've done something wrong if I'm at a Rite Aid because there are like 90 Duane Reade's, Walgreens, and CVS's in one block.
And yet I've spent probably more time in a Rite Aid in New York than any other place.
That's dark.
I would go almost every day. We lived right by one and it was brutal. The man, I think I told the story on here, but the security guard chased me down the street when I was leaving Rite Aid once. And I didn't know he was talking to me. I had my headphones and he chased me down, thought I had stolen something because I walked in, saw the line and said fuck that and left.
Oh, yeah.
And he thought that I just because it was the slowest line in all of New York too.
Yeah.
So anytime there was a big one, I would just leave. And he chased me down the street, made me empty my pockets out. And then when I clearly hadn't stolen anything, he told me that I better not come back to that Rite Aid. I was like, I mean, I was clearly in the right, buddy. He was making.
Yeah, you better not come back.
He was so mad that I made him chase me. But I was like, why would I think you were chasing me? Also, chill out, man. Who cares?
What's the most expensive thing you could steal from being a Rite Aid for like 3 seconds?
Exactly. Like, and everything that's worth more than $12 is behind glass. So it would not have been easy. Nonetheless, fuck Rite Aid and fuck Amy Grant. I'm giving it a 2 out of 6. No, you know what? Here's the thing. I actually didn't. I totally agree with what you're saying about it just being fine to listen to. Like, it's very good background music and if I'm being honest, I would really give it probably a 3, but I just, anybody who's divorced, I just feel like they're not really. And so she's docked one point.
I don't think that all those songs are about her husband. So.
You can just tell when you listen
it down
to
zero. I mean, even I would give it a 3.5. Like,
oh, you're going to get to that's part of it. But Tommy, what do you got?
I'm going to go with a 3 for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In her honor. To give her a 6 would be to give her the number of the beast, and I would never do that to poor Amy Grant.
Perfect. Then Allison, you get to round it out.
I think I'm going to go a 3.5. It's like not good, not bad. That's kind of who she is.
It's perfect for her, yeah.
That's great. I love it.
It's kind of, I already forgot that that's what I rated it, and what she is.
Anything to plug, Allison?
You can listen to my podcast, Ruined, which I do with the very funny Hallie Kiefer, where we talk about horror movies every week. So that's fun. Follow that. Listen to that. Follow me at Allison Leiby on Instagram and Twitter.
Beautiful.
You can watch me get in trouble on Twitter every day.
Yes.
I'm always getting yelled at by people. I'm like, all right, whatever.
I was shocked to see that. I still can't believe the backlash.
It's one of the wildest things I've seen on the internet in years.
It is crazy. People are insane these days. Tommy, what would you do?
Nothing. Just get on the Patreon. It's that week between Christmas and New Year's. I got nothing going on.
We need it. We need it. We need you to get on that Patreon. We're dying over here.
We're bleeding.
We're bleeding. We spend more money on the Patreon than comes in. No, $3 a month though, and you get bonus episodes every damn week, even the holiday week. We put one out just now with Max Fine talking about the new Taylor Swift album, Evermore. And we have that Battle of the Bands on there that is exclusive. And we're thinking about adding a video tier to the Patreon, too. So get on there. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks again, Allison.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Keep it crispy. Bye.